You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. A book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the word. And here's Sherry Medlock.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. And America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your King James Bible to Psalm 91, verse 13, where we left off last time. Psalm 91, verse 13. Now, last time we began Psalm 90, and Psalm 90 through Psalm 106 is called the Numbers Book of Psalms. And Numbers in the Hebrew means wilderness. And it is talking about God specifically concentrating on earth. Psalm 91, which most of you love so much, is called Finding Rest. Now, we almost completed last week. These last few verses of Psalm 91 means finding rest in the wilderness. Do you ever feel like you're in a wilderness? Right here on earth when the Antichrist is here. The Antichrist comes before Jesus. He is the devil with his Jesus costume on, and he comes soon at the sixth trump. So this is to tell you elect who will not be deceived how to find rest. Let's listen.
13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet.
Okay, the devil has many play actor names. You know Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, so naturally the devil wants to call himself a lion. Revelation 12 says the devil is the serpent and he's the dragon. The serpent in the garden was not a snake, it's a symbol. That's one of his names. He's low down to the dirt like that. He's a dragon, he's Tyre, he's son of the morning, he's coming back as Jesus. He's the Antichrist instead of Christ. So he has these play actor names. But it says, finding rest when the Antichrist is here, you, overcomers, elect, shall trample him. What does that mean? Daniel tells us. The prophecy of Daniel calls us the ships of Chittim, those who will overcome the deception of the Antichrist, which means the bruisers. In other words, we shall bruise his head when the elect are delivered up to the Antichrist, because we, that small remnant of the Christian church who will know that's not Jesus, will be delivered up to him when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us whatever the Holy Spirit will say. Then that is going to bruise the head, bruise the credibility of Satan, and expose him to the world. See, that is also that first prophecy in Genesis 3:15. God was dressing down the devil, who is low down like a snake, and he said to him, her seed shall bruise your head. Hear the word bruise there, trample on? Well, her seed, Eve, right on down through Mary, Mary's seed, Jesus. Jesus defeated death, whose name is the devil. But it also means us bruisers will be delivered up to Antichrist. We shall trample upon him. Remember Jesus said in Luke 10, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In Revelation 12, when Michael kicks the devil out of heaven, that's where he's restrained now. His evil spirit's on the earth, but bodily he's there with his fallen angels. He's going to come so beautifully. He's a glistening one like a lightning flash. But Jesus also says in Luke 10, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you can find rest when the devil's here. Now let's continue.
14, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him.
Now who is the him? That's you, if you be a she, if you are an elect, if you're an overcomer. Why does he talk about love? You want to get it in your heart that this whole thing with God and you is a love story. He's the bridegroom and we're the bride. He's the husband and we're the wife. The whole thing is about love. So when the real Jesus returns, He is coming back for a bride. He already has a wife. The wife will be the elect who will not be deceived, and some already gone on. But he's coming back because they would love him. We would love him. But if you fall off to the first one who looks like Jesus, talks like Jesus, two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon, you have not loved Jesus. You have loved the wrong one. So that's what he means.
I will set him on high because he has known my name.
Now, set on high means a promotion. So only the elect are going to get to gather around Jesus when he comes down and lands himself on this planet. Others will come and say, Jesus, Jesus, I did this for you. Get away from me. I never knew you. That's a marriage ring. No, no, no. You married somebody else. Set us on high means that those overcomers are going to be the Zadok and will teach during that 1,000 years reign of the millennium, which is coming up in the next chapter. We get to talk about that. And set us on high. Why would we set on high? Why would we get to teach? Because we've known his name. What is his name? Everybody should know it by now. Jesus. And his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. See, if you knew his word, you won't be deceived. You'll wait for the true bridegroom.
15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
Now, during that time of Antichrist, it's called the hour of temptation. It's not an hour, but during that time, he's here. He will talk to us, and we will talk to him. He does that now. I was playing the piano a while ago, and we just started talking to him and calling him this beautiful lily of the valley, the sweetest and fairest, and he just absolutely touched my head. You can just feel it. He's just visible. Spirit has substance, and he's there. But how much more so when the Antichrist is here? He's really going to be nearer than hands are breathing. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. I am convinced our relationship will be deeper with him than ever before.
I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
What trouble is that? Jacob's trouble. I'll be with you during that hour of temptation, during the reign of Antichrist. I'll deliver him. You know why? You know what Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation? He loved Philadelphia. He said, I will deliver you from the hour of temptation. It's not a literal hour, but it's when the Antichrist is here. Elect, you won't be tempted. That's why you'll be delivered. He's not tempting to you. I mean, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? When you've had the real thing, you can't take the fake.
16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
So what is the reward of enduring to the end and not falling off to deception? Long life, it means eternal life. What's he going to show us? His salvation. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus' name in the Hebrew, Yahweh's Savior. So Psalm 91, finding rest right now, today, and when the Antichrist comes in the wilderness experience, he gives rest to your soul. Now we go to Psalm 92, and it's going to move us up into that day of the Lord, that 1,000 years reign, when Jesus will have returned, and the elect only will be with him, and those he brings with him, that teaching. We will all have turned into our spiritual bodies, saved and lost alike. So keep this in mind. And this is a prayer and praise for the Sabbath day. Remember 2 Peter 3, Peter said, the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So that's what the Lord's day is. And this will be that millennium time at the seventh trump that begins.
Psalm 92, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day.
Now you want to remember that Sabbath means rest. You remember when Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansion there, mone mino, means rest. Sabbath, rest from all of the temptations and this relentless targeting that Satan does to his elect. Rest from all of that, peace. Remember Colossians 2 says Christ is become our Sabbath. So it's not talking about a specific day, the day of the Lord, that 1,000 years.
Verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
I think we'll give thanks to the Lord. You know why? Because we're going to see Jesus lock our adversary, the devil, in an abyss for 1,000 years, and he can't mess with us anymore. That is something for which to be thankful. We're going to be thankful because Jesus will say, well done, and will choose us, and we'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years, Revelation 20. Hallelujah. We'll say, thank you, Father, that I waited for the true bridegroom.
Yes. Thank you.
But you know what? We don't want to wait until then. I want you, everybody, to form an attitude of gratitude. You know, when you grumble, you crumble. And so how about every time you start to grumble, just stop and say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. And then name something. There's something for which you could be thankful. Do you have five toes? Thank you for that. There is something there. And form that attitude. Be renewed by the renewing of your mind. An attitude of gratitude. Don't you like to be around people who are grateful and thankful and not mumbling and crumbling?
And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
O Most High, in the Hebrew, Elyon, God, possessor of heaven and earth. I mean, he'll possess it all, King of kings and Lord of lords. All the knees are going to bow. All the nations' leaders shall bow. Jesus will be the king here. Why will we sing praises to him? So many of these psalms, especially the ones that David wrote, that we've been studying, have been addressed to the chief musician. That's Jesus. Jesus who has the victory, Jesus who gives the victory. Jesus is the chief musician, and you know he loves music. So this is a good chance for me to give a little pastoral advice to all of you church musicians. There is not to be in the church any kind of show business in your music. Every note you play, every note you sing, you ought to reach to the core of your spirit being and worship him with that. Now, of course, people recognize the talent. I just played the piano. I would think somebody thought it had to take something to be able to do that. But you see, every note is to worship him. We don't want anybody playing or singing and getting the glory themselves. When you worship him with the music. You know, there really are few people that can do that because you want to put on the show. When you can go in and just a secret place and start worshiping as you play or sing, then that's the kind of music in the church. So, everybody, no more show business in the music.
Verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
In other words, throughout that whole 1,000 day of the Lord, all we're going to do is be praising him. You know, it never gets boring. Revelation chapter 22 says the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nation. In the Greek, when you put it all together, it's very difficult to get that exactly right. But it all comes out, we'll never be bored. And we're going to see more and more facets of our God in his faithfulness and his love and kindness.
3, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery. Upon the harp with a solemn sound.
So see, he wants musical instruments. And so we play our instruments for him with skill and worship with every note we play.
4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands.
The work there is the plan. And this is what the elect are going to be saying. Thank you, God, that when I was in my flesh body, I realized that my life was not about my plan or my purpose. That I found that you had a plan, Father God. And I said, Lord, use me in your plan. I don't care where you put me in your plan, wherever it is, over here in the corner, there, anywhere. Let me be a part of your plan to help you fulfill your plan, God. Oh, how we'll praise him for his plan. You know, if he has a plan, people say, I want you to tell me what God wants me to do with my life, my purpose, my plan. See, there you are, selfie again. No. What is his plan? His plan is not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that everybody should know every word of God, the mystery of God, the things held secret from before the foundation of the earth. That's God's plan. Get in it. Tell the truth and tell the world the word of God. Oh, so we'll praise him for his plan. And see, the plan that we can praise him and see that he's letting this pure word cover the earth as waters that cover the sea, as Isaiah says, as is a dog, teach the pure word of God for 1,000 years. That's his language, you know, and his word gives life, you know.
5, oh Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
Now here in the natural, if you can find a place without city lights and street lights and go up on a clear night, out on a clear night and look at the sky, look at the beautiful order. Look, the Milky Way, the dippers, the way the moon is. Anybody with just one cell of their brain working would know that a Big Bang could not have done this. So at this time, I'm going to call my invisible puppet Big Brain, and Big Brain, you tell them. Press, think, now. Okay, a Big Bang just makes chaos. If I take a beautiful glass vase, and I've got water in it and flowers in it, and I'm going to take it next door to my neighbor, and I got to walk on the concrete, and I drop it, smash, Big Bang, what a mess. There's no beauty there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. If it's chaos, it's not God. God is not the author of confusion. And so see, if you would go out and you would see, you know, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear, revere. And so to acknowledge him, where do we get knowledge? The book of knowledge, the Bible. He wrote us a love letter. The rest of that verse says, but fools despise instruction. God said in an earlier psalm, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now God says, if you don't believe there's a God, you're a fool. So it'd be a fool to believe that the Big Bang did that, when we can see absolutely, just using a little bit of press think now, that God created this. Now, so what the verse said here, if we think it's beautiful now, how about, because now we see through a glass darkly, how about when we see face to face, we see clearly, how will we be amazed at God's handiwork? What about his thoughts are very deep? Where are his thoughts? The mind of Christ. He wrote it, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. He didn't write baby stuff in there. You start out getting saved. Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood. Jesus arose. Okay, repent, believe, confess. But Paul says, go on to the deep. Deep calleth unto deep. Why the deep is there was a first earth age before this. 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was. World, Greek, eon, age. And Satan said, I will be God and deceive the stars. Children of God minus the flesh in the Hebrew. We were all there in a spirit body. And so, see, that's deep. You will never understand that plan that we just praised him for unless you understand that sin began there when Satan said, I will be God and deceive one-third of God's children. Revelation 12 tells you that. And so then he shook it and brought in this one chance so that we can accept Jesus or accept the devil. The elect in every generation sent out to be those light bearers. It's not the church on every corner. God bless them. They love the Lord. But it's the truth. It's the mystery. It's the things kept secret from before the foundation of the earth. Deep. His thoughts are very deep.
6. A brutish man knoweth not.
You know what brutish means in the Hebrew? Stupid. So God says, but a stupid man wouldn't know what God just said, okay? He doesn't know that. He doesn't know there was the first earth age before this. This is why you're here. You were in one third there, and he gave you another chance, or either you were in the elect to send out, one or the other. You were lukewarm, sitting there doing nothing. And so, but a stupid person wouldn't do this. But how could you not be stupid? You could read the Bible. All of this is in the Bible. In the Bible, where he wrote his thoughts.
Neither doth a fool understand this.
Well, remember, he said, but fools despise instruction. Yes. It is a foolish person who would despise God's word. Listen to me, Christians. Some of you say you love Jesus, but you do well to read three little verses once in a while. It's not one verse and 3 points you need. It's every word of God. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And you need a big meal every day.
7. When the wicked spread as the grass.
An earlier psalm said, I have seen the wicked in spreading himself like a green bay tree. And then I looked and he was not. Look at the world today. Every nation, there's not one nation that's being led by somebody calling on God, the real God. Every nation is wicked, and it looks like the wicked are winning. Look at ISIS. They're crucifying people. They're cutting people's heads off. And incidentally, little parentheses here, you've heard me teach, the Bible teach, the locust army, Revelation 9. That is the fourth stage, Isis, of the locust army, Zephaniah. Four stages of the locust, caterpillar, cankerworm, palmer worm. And each stage gets worse and worse and worse. So this is getting close to the end of the fifth trumpet, time of learning. So I thought I'd teach you what that means. So see, we're getting closer and closer and closer. But a fool doesn't know that, do they? You would despise instruction. Even what I just said, all that's in the Bible. The name of the President of the United States is in the Bible. The Bible tells us what's going to happen to him. Did you know that? Yes. You just read the Bible.
And when all the workers of iniquity do flourish,
whoa,
it is that they shall be destroyed forever.
You know what's going to happen? At the end of the millennium, the lake of fire is coming into existence. God is a consuming fire. And all the wicked, that wicked one, Satan, sent us to perish from within and be no more, Ezekiel 28. And all who follow him are going to walk into the lake of fire. It does look like the wicked get away with it, because right now the wicked are the voices of the earth, except for a few of us who are crying in the wilderness here. But remember the acrostic psalm, Psalm 37. An acrostic is something hidden in God's word that's hidden for God's elect. Most people don't get it. In Psalm 37, it's verses 7, verse 20, and verse 34. And basically it says that the wicked shall consume, into the smoke they shall consume away. They don't get away with it.
8. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
But God shall live forever and ever. He always was, he is, he always will be.
9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish.
He said it twice for emphasis. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter established. Don't forget, God's word is true. Okay, perish means perdition, to turn to ashes from within. Ezekiel 28, that Tyrus there, that's another one of Satan's play actor names. He called himself the rock. He's trying to be the rock of ages. He's just a little rock. But God sentenced him there when Satan rebelled in the first earth age. And it's written in Ezekiel 28. You'll have to read down a little while there, around about 17, 18, right on in there. He sentenced him to perish from within, to turn to ashes from within and be no more. So therefore, Satan is the son of perdition.
All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
The word scattered doesn't mean they're going to run all over the earth. It means separated. Like Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats and separate the wheat from the chaff. Once that chaff is removed from the wheat, we don't need it anymore. It's gone, gone, consumed in the smoke.
10. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn.
Whoa, now horn means power and strength. Now, these are the elect. We're in the millennium, okay? These are the overcomers teaching away on the word. It looks like we're getting proud here saying, boy, my power and strength, you're going to exalt. No, no, no. First of all, there's no such thing as a unicorn. It's a mythical creature. It reads in the manuscripts, wild ox. What it means is God will empower the elect there as he does now, and give us strength and give us power to trample our enemy down, power to take one more hill, to climb one more hill, to take one more step, to go one more time for him.
Amen.
And hallelujah, he's going to do it then. I mean, that is power. You know, Ezekiel 44 talks about that. He says we would teach the people the clean from the unclean.
I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
The elect shall be anointed with fresh oil. Who is the anointed one? Christ, Christos, the anointed one. How refreshing. Now we feel him. We're aware of his Holy Spirit. We love him. But then face to face, we shall rule and reign. Reign means to teach with him. He'll be right there with us. That is a refreshing. Now you know oil gives the light. And so the light is the truth. Jesus is the light, and he's the truth, and he's the word. So we're reminded of Matthew 25. There were 10 virgins. That means the whole number of the body of Christ. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The wise ones have oil in their lamps, oil, light, truth, the seal of God in their forehead, every word of God, the mystery of God, the key of David. But the other half have just a little verse here and just minded my business and just prayed to God to give me a new job and a new car. We want you to have that. But see, that's not the oil. And so there is a difference. Get the oil. Get the truth. You'll never regret it. We offer it here.
And that mine eye also shall see mine desire upon mine enemies.
We're actually going to watch this one, the enemy of our soul, who has broken our hearts and hurt so many human beings down through the ages. Satan, Lucifer, serpent, devil, false Christ, antichrist, Tyre, son of the morning, morning star, that old fake rock. We're going to watch him walk into the lake of fire, into the smoke, perish from within and be no more. And the smoke, when it goes up forever, means whatever's in the fire is blotted out.
And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
And you know, really, even now, in your flesh body, you don't have to ever get even. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. I love it, don't you? And I'm telling you, God avenges his elect, because the elect are the only ones he can truly count on to get that true message out, the true oil. And so you don't ever get even. In fact, bless them. I usually ask God to be a little merciful on them when they hurt me.
12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree.
Now, that's an interesting statement. Flourish there means blossom, okay?
Shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Okay, God often uses the word trees to describe his children. He loves to speak in parables and plays. He often calls his elect the cedars of Lebanon. And what about the palm tree? Okay, this is referring to the date palm. The date palm grows in the wilderness desert. It's like a life giver. They call it the life giver plant. Palm means victory. The Arabic people call it sister to man. You know why? Because that date palm can produce from 400 to 500 pounds of edible fruit in one season. Hallelujah. How much fruit did you bear today? I'm going for 500. And you know why it does that? Excuse me. Because its roots go down so deeply into the water level. Now see, listen, Christian, if you're rooted and grounded in every word of God and your roots go down in every word of God, the mystery, the first earth ages, the seduction in the garden, the Mamzars, the Kenites, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, and all of these great mystery things, then you also will bear fruit. You know, Jesus is the vine, we're the branch. He says if you don't bear fruit, he'll cut you off. Your purpose in this vineyard is to produce fruit. How you doing? Shall we all go for 500 pounds?
13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Now, this flourish means a little different. The first one in the manuscripts is blossom. This one means, excuse me, green, like alive. In Revelation chapter 9, Satan, when he comes as Antichrist, has already been commanded by God, do not touch any green tree. Remember, he calls us the trees of righteousness. Green means we have the seal of God, the truth in our foreheads. We cannot be deceived. So flourish in the courts of our God. Now remember, we're in the millennium. What is he talking about, the courts of the Lord? That millennium temple area, Ezekiel 44, I recently taught that whole book on the air. Perhaps you can go back on the internet and get it there. And he's got this. Not everybody can go there. The elect only, and those he brings with him, they would be the elect. And flourish. How will we flourish? Because we get to be with him and be used by him and bear 500 pounds of fruit for him.
14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Still means continue to bring forth fruit. Now you say, now wait a minute. We're in our spiritual bodies, because 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, when Jesus comes, we shall all be changed. We step out of our flesh body into our spirit body, saved and lost alike. So what is this old age bit? There's no old age in the spirit body. We were all born at the same time. God created us, shall we say, at the same time in the first earth age. And then when Satan rebelled, he sent us out one by one. So that's why it seems like people are older. But this is just this little time. But we're all the same age. So as to what it means is that we will continually produce fruit for our Lord eternity after eternity after eternity. You know, when you love somebody, you want to serve them. So that's what we're going to do, get to serve him. I mean, when I love somebody, I can't do enough for them. Don't you feel that way? That's the way it's going to be.
They shall be fat, strong, and flourishing.
Fat, strong, fertile. In other words, fertile means giving birth. Now see, every time you win a soul to Jesus, every time you get the truth of God's word to someone, I mean the mystery word, I don't mean the Bible, I mean the Bible. When you do that, you birth someone into the kingdom. Now, let me give you a little helpful hand. There is no excuse ever for any Christian to retire from serving the Lord. Okay, the body's not designed, we learned last week, to live much more than 70. If you make it to 80, great, and of course some make it more. I can't help if you are blind. You could still be serving God in your old age more than you ever served him. There is something for you to do. If you are crippled and can't walk without holding on to something, you could still have a 24-hour-a-day ministry. There is something for you to do. So don't you ever dare say to me, because I'm living proof, that it doesn't matter what in God's name the devil does to your body. If you're called and chosen and elected, and you have the anointing and the word of God in you, God will use you full time. So everybody, nurse your aches and pains if you must, but let's get cracking and bear some fruit for the Lord. It says in old age we'll be strong and flourish. You'll bear more fruit in old age than ever before.
15, to show that the Lord is upright.
That's right, because he's just, he's mighty, he's powerful.
He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
We'll be very much aware that he is our rock, because those of us who overcome the deception will sing the overcomer's song. Revelation 15 mentions it. It's the song of Moses. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. And we'll be saying, their rocks, not our rock. Our rock, immovable, monumental, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Psalm 93, verse 1.
Now, this continues the true Sabbath, and it takes it up a little bit. It's praise for Sabbath desired. Remember, Sabbath means rest, and we're just praising him. What we desire. Right now, you're desiring this. We want that time. We love that. Come on, the Antichrist, get your 5 months over and let Jesus come and let's begin. So then it'll actually happen. We're actually going to experience this. So we praise him. At last, our desire has come to pass.
The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength.
God wears his glory. He let me see a vision of my dad who's in heaven. And I saw my dad in wearing his glory. The righteous robe, the righteous acts that we weave bear our righteous robe. But it's as though it comes from our inner being. It's so beautiful. Can you imagine the majesty, the glory of God? He wears it like a king.
Wherewith he hath girded himself, the world also established that it cannot be moved.
As soon as Jesus returns, he's going to rejuvenate this planet. Because, see, there was a time it was moved. When Satan rebelled, God got so upset because he knew his children were deceived, and that was high treason, that he took the planet and he shook it. He shook it. He shook it. And I mean, and that's why Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, it was void and without form. The word void was there means it became, something happened, it was perfect, and he shook it, okay? And so that's what he did with it there. Now, he shook it then, and in Jeremiah 4, we're on Jeremiah on Wednesday night, Jeremiah 4, he's going to tell us more about that shaking. And God says in Hebrews, I shook it once when Satan rebelled, and I'm going to shake it again. Guess what? It's happening. This morning on the news, I heard a reporter say, it's like somebody was shaking it and rocking it in his hands. I said, Fools despise instruction. If you knew the Bible, you'd know there's a great shaking going on. Hebrews 12, there's a shaking going. Everything in this world is being shaken. United States of America is being shaken to its very core foundation. Only with this day of repentance, if we turn from our wicked ways and seek our Father God, repent and make Jesus the Lord and the Bible the book, then will we stand, having done all to stand. Your only foundation is Jesus and the Bible, but I mean the real Bible.
2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice.
Now he's talking about the flood of lies, Revelation 12. The earth is covered with lies. Of course, when Satan comes, everywhere you know they go, they're lying to you, politicians.
The floods lift up their waves. 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters.
In Revelation 17 says the waters of the people. So God's voice, which is truth, he is the trumpet of truth. His truth can override all of the people's lies on earth.
Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. 5. Thy testimonies are very sure.
His word is truth.
Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever.
You know it's going to be absolute holiness. Don't you long for holiness when you see the corruption that's going on in this world? Zechariah, Revelation, he even calls us the Holy One. And those four beasts of Revelation 4, the living creatures, keep guard, grab, and grasp in the Hebrew there, they're going to be saying, holy, holy, holy. And so we find rest and we find hope that there is a Sabbath and it's coming up. And I pray it come up for you. It is now time for the mystery moment. Could I have the fifth trumpet, please? Yes, the key of David to help you open the mystery of God. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, please tell me the difference between a seal, a trump, and a vial. Okay, a seal is a sign, a trump is an action, and a vial is the visual aid. And you can read about those in Revelation. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry, in Genesis 2, God rested on the seventh day, and then he saw he did not have a farmer, so he created that man Adam. Was that man Adam taken from that six-day creation of Genesis 1:26? The answer is no. In Genesis 1:26, when it says male and female made he them, plural, that word Adam in the Hebrew means humankind, mankind in general. Go to the mall, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And God said it is very good. All the races were created right then. Then God rested, and then he looked and said, I don't have a farmer to till the soil. What he meant was, I need someone with a pedigree. It had to come from the first earth age, through whom my son Jesus can come and pay the sin debt for all mankind. And it was through that lineage, the man Adam, Eph Ha'adam, married to Eve, who was taken from his rib, which means his curve. That's curvy Eve. I hope that helps. You'll have to get all of the 6 and 7 hour teachings of the whole book there. Okay, dear Sherry, why is Eve called the mother of all living, since the six-day creation was created at first? By the way, the six-day creation were the farmers, not the farmers, they were the hunters and the fishermen. And the man Adam, through whom Jesus came, was the farmer to till the soil. There's a spiritual meaning there. Okay, why is Eve called the mother of all living? Okay, first of all, of course, one woman could not be the mother of all these different races with one man. Okay, what happens there? Through umbilical cord to umbilical cord, she finally had a son named Seth. On down through Mary was Jesus born. And Jesus is life, okay? So all who are in Jesus are living. So it's a figure of speech. Eve is the mother of all living. There you go. All right, let's find another question here. Dear Sherry, in Revelation chapter 9, it tells Satan not to touch anyone with the seal of God in their forehead. What is the seal of God? The seal of God is the truth, the word of God, the mystery of God in your brain and so running deep in your spirit that you cannot be deceived. And so you see, it's not an actual magic marker. Now, if you don't have the seal of God, you have the mark of the beast in your forehead, which is a lie. You understand? It's a figure of speech. And so you want to have that seal of God in your forehead, the truth, the very truth. Okay, next question, Revelation 7. Dear Sherry, there are four angels there holding the winds on the four corners of the earth. And an angel tells them to stop, hold the wind. What does that mean? First of all, that other angel, the fifth one in the manuscripts, reads eagle. And God is a great eagle, like a great eagle, a figure of speech. The wind is a symbol of the end. See, right now, everything is ready for the Antichrist to come within. But he says, hold the wind. Here's why. He says, let those who, there are a few more, who need to get the seal of God, the real truth, the mystery in their foreheads, let me get them before my elect, who are the teachers of that truth, and let them get it sealed so they will not be deceived. How good God is. See, there is a portion of God's people predestined, Romans 8. That's not all. Most have free will. God's elect predestined from before the foundation of the earth. So to get that seal, I can testify to this scripture because I know the signs and I know we're ready. Now we've got the fourth stage of the locust army with ISIS there, and I'm aware that it's ready for the sixth trump, but I keep seeing people come through the radio, through telephone, in here live, contacting me, and I can see that it's time for their eyes to pry open. I see it on Wednesday, I see it on Sunday, I see it on the radio, and I'm just so grateful. This is our loving God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? Let's see what else we've got here. Dear Sherry, in Revelation 7, Jesus showed John 144,000 people who were sealed. Is this a specific number, and who are these people? It's not a specific number. 144,000 in biblical numerics means the whole, W-H-O-L-E, of God's people, all of God's people. Now remember, there are 7,000 elect, 7, the perfect number of God, not a specific number, but those who will not be deceived, who will be delivered up to Antichrist when he comes, and what we say is going to cause the whole of God's people, symbolized by 144,000, to run away from Satan. So that's good news. That's good news. Okay. All right, Revelation chapter 8, Sherry, it says that there was silence in heaven for one half an hour. What does that mean? When Satan is kicked out of heaven by Michael with his angels, see, Satan's evil spirit is here, as you very well know, and his lieutenants, but he is held right now by Michael in heaven. He's going to keep him out, kick him out. There's going to be silence in heaven. Here's why. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He is perpetually squawking and grumbling and saying, did you see what Susie did? Did you see what Johnny did not do? Okay, so he's complaining. Now there is, I don't have time for that in this mystery moment. There is a deeper meaning of the half hour. Don't forget that Jesus shortened Satan's time for the elect's sake. And remember, originally it was 7 years. Daniel says times and a half time. That would be a half there, okay? And so we know in Revelation 9 he shortened it to 5 months. Does it mean that's going to be shortened to 2.5 months? We'll wait and see, won't we? Interesting. Okay, just food for thought. Press think now. Let's see, I think I've got time for maybe one more here. Dear Sherry, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, it says, if any love not Jesus, let him be anathema and maranatha. What does that mean? Anathema would be the Greek. That means let him be accursed. Paul is actually talking about the time that Jesus returns. So if you don't love Jesus, you would be accursed. And here's why. The why word would be in the Hebrew, Manasseh, in the Greek, Manasseh, Maranatha. Maranatha means our Lord is come. So if you love not the Lord Jesus, when he comes, you would be accursed. Do you understand? Okay. Let's see if we've got time for anything else. Sherry, have you heard of the Apocrypha? Yes, I do, and I have that book. It was in the original Bible. The Catholics still keep it there. Some of it is very good. It's all very good reading. I do believe 2 Esdras should have been canonized. It says the wise shall understand it. 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha tells us the seven stages of what happens when we say that a person dies, the first seven steps that happens to them, saved and lost alike. So I'll stop there with that. At this time, I'm going to pray for those of you who are lost. I want you to get saved. I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. I love you. You read this Bible and live this Bible and love this Bible and love Jesus. Remember, his name is called the Word of God. Now be blessed by the prayers. Sherry Medlock, thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth. I do pray you were blessed. First of all, I want you to come and live with me in Father's house forever and ever. So let's make sure that you're saved. If you're not certain, please pray this prayer with me, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. Ready? Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have sinned. I repent of my sins. I'm so sorry. I confess that I have sinned. I ask that you will please forgive me of all my sins. Please wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth, that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, save me, Lord. Be my Savior, but be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Use me to enlarge your territory. Here am I. Send me. Thank you. I love you, and I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that, you'll want to tell me. 321-632-4631. That's my number, my school number, Sherry Medlock School. 321-632-4631. You'll get my voicemail, but just leave your name. And if you want me to call you back, please leave your number. But as soon as I get the message, I will immediately take your name to Father's throne. Now, if you are sick, I want to pray for you to be healed. Do you know that God still heals? I have been healed of cancer 2 times in 2 different places of my body, and I did not ever go to the doctor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I always say, if you can't walk on water, take a boat. But I'm called to faith, and I believed. One time it took me 2 years. One time it took me 4 years, but I'm completely healed. And you can be healed too, and many things we overcome through the faith in Jesus Christ. Modern scientists have told us that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. The Bible says that Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24 says that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. The blood was for the remission of sins, and the stripes were for the healing. Now, I want you to place your hand over whatever needs healing. If there's a part of your body that's missing, place your hand there if you can, because God is able to create a new body part. If something's broken or fractured, place your hand there. If something's not working, eyes or ears or legs, place your hand there. In any event, lift up your heart to the Lord. Now, the anointing destroys a yoke. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the Holy Spirit will anoint this one, Father, as I pray this prayer. You said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will move out to wherever this one is. Wherever there's something missing, in the name of Jesus, we call forth a new body part, whole and well, by the hand of God. We call forth those things which are not as though they were, in the name of Jesus. Now, for all cancer, you're a demonic force, and I command you, all cancer, to desist and be gone from this body. And where the cancer was, let the healing virtue of Jesus flow in and repair the tissues. Cancer, you have to die. You have no power over this one. Jesus' stripes heals all cancer. Deaf ears, ephata, be healed. Diabetes, in the name of Jesus, you are a diabolical force, and I command you to loose this
one, that the blood sugars become normalized. Let glaucoma be gone. Let this one live and not die. Blind eyes see. Blessed are your eyes for they see. You recover sight. Right eye see. Left eye see. In the name of Jesus. Cataracts be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Macular disease be gone. Retina, everything in the eye be healed. Skin be healed. Skin be made whole. Burned skin be made whole in Jesus' name. Brains function. Dementia, Alzheimer's. Go to the abyss and never return in the name of Jesus. Come, mind of Christ. Clear thinking, wisdom. Clear thinking in the mind in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Arthritis, you are a devil. You go to the itises and go to the abyss and never return. Let the bones be made strong. Let broken bones be mended. Where their bone is brittle, be made strong in the name of Jesus. He makes your bones strong. Burning feet stop. Burning toes be perfectly aligned. Feet get back in your right place. Hips get healed. Their pelvis, pelvic girdle, and pick up those legs and arise. Take up your bed. Get up out of the wheelchair. Arise. Take up and walk in the name and the power of Jesus. Knees stop hurting and be made whole in the name of Jesus. Stomachs be healed. Kidneys be healed. Right kidney, left kidney, bladder, colon, private parts on men, private parts on women, be healed. Backbone, spine, vertebrae, right on down from the first one to the last one. Vertebrae get back in order, be perfectly aligned. Disc be made whole in Jesus' name. Pelvis, pelvic girdle, inside the bone marrow, muscles and nerves and sinews and tissues, the tongue and the throat, the lungs, the heart, the hands, the arms, the backs, the muscles, the brain stem, in Jesus' mighty name, top of your head to the soles of your feet, that the healing virtue flow and let you be made whole. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. He sends his word and heals you. The anointing destroys the yoke. Now, call forth your healing. Speak it out of your mouth. With Jesus' stripes I am healed. Father, touch this one. Let your miracle power flow here, dear God, and show your glory and restore health and cure to them. You will restore health and cure is your promise, and we thank you and we receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of glory. Now, you might want to tell me also that you've been healed. Again, my number is 321-632-4631. 321-632-4631. You might also like to call me to ask me to pray for you. Again, you'll get my voicemail. That's the only way I can handle this. I'm a one-woman show. I don't have any help here. We accept the Lord, and he's a good help. So always leave your message, but I will get your message. I check them very often. I will always pray for you. Come on Sunday here at my school, 5 p.m. front entrance, to more of Trumpet of Truth. Bible, line by line, prayer for healing, prayer for salvation, beautiful music. 916G Florida Avenue, Coco, in the El Charro Mexican Plaza. You'll see a big sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. And then in the front door there, you'll see another sign, Trumpet of Truth. Come right on in. And Wednesday night, we have another book, currently studying Revelation. By the time you get here, it'll be a new book of the Bible. 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night. We also pray then fervently for America. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, for more of Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. And remember this when you think of Jesus, Yeshua. It's taken from Revelation 19:13. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock, a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse, line-by-line of God's love letter, the Bible. Sherry studies from the original languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, from which God dictated the Word. Tune in next week at this same time for The Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock.
Just got from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Trust God for where your life is going. God is in control. God is in control. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Trust God for where your life is going. God is in control. God is in control. From the bottom of